Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Today's going to be fun. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. And we are in the middle of a series. This is week five of a series we're calling Over It. And what we're talking about in this series is sort of a universal struggle. It's a common thing we all face, in that we find ourselves sometimes in relationships with people that might be a little difficult. And the natural human tendency in difficult relationships is to want to throw our hands up in the air, want to say we're done, we're finished, that we are over it. And we believe that God actually has better for us than that. And so if you're a guest today, again, this is week five, so I would highly encourage you, if you haven't done it already, to download our app. If you're watching online, this would be a great thing for you to go get as well, because in this app, you can go back and watch weeks one through four, so you can catch up and kind of understand a little more context of how we got to where we are. But just as a quick recap, here's sort of where we began this series. It was with a truth that God promises to us, and this is the truth. We learned that we can be set free from the people that set us off. And not set free from them and being done with them. We can be set free to love them the way God loves us. And in order to do that, we have to turn to Jesus. And Jesus gives us a step to take, which he did week one. And what he taught us was this. What he taught us was, if I want to be set free, the path to better begins with me. Before we start focusing on what's wrong with everyone else, Jesus says, hey, invite me in and let me help you. And specifically, he talks about, let him help us remove the planks in our life, the sins, the major struggles that we have. And he says, hey, if you invite me in, I'm going to help. It's going to make it easier for you to love other people. After that, we moved in for 2 weeks. We talked about the fact that in some relationships, let's just be honest, our plank isn't the problem. In some relationships, the problem is addiction, the problem is dysfunction, the problem is manipulation, and we aren't supposed to own those problems. So how do we love those people? How do we not want to just be over those relationships? And Jesus gave us an answer, and the answer is this. A better path, which is what we all want, requires better boundaries. What that means is we can follow Jesus' example, and we can love with all our hearts, but we can also take steps to protect ourselves from being forced to own problems that don't belong to us. For being forced to own situations that aren't ours. And again, if you've missed that, I'd highly encourage you to go back and check out those 2 weeks. Because last week, we sort of tried to turn the corner and try to bring the series to a close, kind of tie a bow on it. And here's what we discovered. We can have the healthiest, clearest boundaries in the world, and we can still find ourselves over other people. And the reason is because of what Jesus taught us week one. It's because we will continue to have our own struggles and our own issues in our life. And so if we really want to achieve better, if we want to live set free, we have to embrace the idea that a better path also requires a better process. And this process is for us. This process is literally for us to go on plank patrol, to learn to invite Jesus in to help us deal with the issues and struggles that we will have moving forward. Last week, we talked about a very common struggle that many people in this room have, and it is anger. And we talked about not only how to deal with anger, God gave us a process by which we can be healed from our anger. We can lessen our temper, lessen the outbursts, and lessen the pain we cause other people with those outbursts. And the key was to understand that anger is typically just the tip of the iceberg. We learned last week that there is usually something happening underneath the surface, and anger is simply revealing it. So God gave us a process to pause, to invite him in, and to actually help replace the hurt or the pain that's underneath so that we can be set free from anger. This week, I want to pick up right there, and I want to talk about another common struggle, another sort of universal emotion we all have that makes it difficult for us to live set free and that pushes us sometimes to want to be over other people. And the emotion I want to talk about today is guilt. I told you it was going to be fun. We're going to talk about guilt. And the way we're defining guilt today is this. Guilt is the pain we feel over the problems we believe we've caused. Pain, guilt, can also feel like regret. It's when you feel remorse. It can very quickly turn into shame. And it's a very common human emotion. We feel this whenever we believe we've caused pain in someone else's life. And sometimes we feel this because we actually have caused pain. We hurt someone. We did something that hurt someone else, and it causes pain. And so we feel guilt. Other times, we can feel guilty over just thoughts. We had a negative thought about someone. We had a negative idea. We didn't actually do anything about it, but those thoughts make us feel guilty. Sometimes we can even feel guilty when we didn't do anything. We feel guilty because something happens to someone else. We wish we had done more, and because we didn't, we can beat ourselves up and feel guilt and shame because we didn't act in that moment. Some people even feel guilt over success. Did you know this? Some people call it survivor's guilt. Some people call it success guilt. But there are literally, there's a group of people in this country, there are 20 to 30 to 40-year-olds who feel guilty over their success because they feel like they were more successful than some of their friends, they were more successful than their parents, and it causes people to feel guilt over this. There's a type of guilt that I've studied but I've never experienced personally. It's called mom guilt. I know nothing about mom guilt. Not a mom. But the way I understand it, mom guilt is the type of guilt felt by moms who also have healthy, thriving careers. And they try to pursue those careers, but something tells them that they are causing a problem at home by looking after and by pursuing that career. And so moms have mom guilt. Maybe over the last few weeks, as we've been talking about the series, and you've been attending our church, maybe you've actually begun trying to implement some boundaries in your life. Maybe you've set up some boundaries, some unhealthy behaviors, and you prayed about it, and you've set those boundaries, and the people on the other side of the boundary aren't very happy with the boundary. And they keep telling you, you've caused a problem. You have caused a problem by creating this boundary. And it's making you feel bad. And it's making you feel pain, and you're not sure what to do with it. See, guilt is an incredibly powerful emotion. And it affects way more of our decisions than I think we are even aware. And the question is, should it? Should guilt affect our behaviors? And again, I think I've given the game away by calling guilt a plank. I've called guilt a struggle. I believe guilt is something God wants to set us free from. But the next logical question is, wait, so you're saying I'm not supposed to feel bad if I hurt someone? And God would say, of course you're supposed to feel bad if you hurt someone. And then you would say, well, but then how is guilt a struggle? Because it is. Well, what are we supposed to do? Fantastic questions. You guys are so smart. I'm so glad that you asked these questions, because wouldn't you know it, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father answers that question. He gives us a process that we can use to know exactly what to do with the pain we feel over the problems we believe we've caused. And here's the good news: that process leads to freedom. That process leads to less pain. Because here's what I know is true. And if you're here today and you are struggling with guilt, or you're struggling with shame, and you're not sure your Heavenly Father loves you, and it's been weeks, months, years, maybe even decades, and you don't know what to do with it, please hear me. Your Heavenly Father did not create you to feel that way. He doesn't want you to feel that way. And boy, did you pick the perfect Sunday to be here. Because he has a process for you. A process that will set you free from that pain. And can't we all agree, doesn't that sound better than what we currently experience? Now, to discover this process, we're going to turn to a man we turn to often here at Wellspring, a man named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we as Christians call the New Testament. It's the last third of our Bible that tells the story of Jesus' birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ministry, and then the spread of the early church. Paul was an early convert to Christianity. And not only was he a convert to Christianity, Paul was the first Christian missionary. And he traveled all around the known world at the time, preaching about Jesus and leading people to Jesus and starting churches in new cities. And then those churches would have questions about how to be a Christian because they didn't know how to be a Christian. And so Paul, from other cities, sometimes even in jail, would write letters to these churches to give them instructions for how to be a Christian, how to follow God in their life. And he was constantly giving them processes that they could use in their life to become more like Jesus. And what we believe as Christians is that when Paul was writing these letters, it's as if God himself was speaking through Paul's pen. So we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and God is speaking directly to us. And in the one of the letters he wrote to the church at Corinth, specifically 2 Corinthians, he addresses this issue directly. And he tells us what to do with the pain we feel over the problems we believe we've caused. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen, because Paul gives us an incredibly clear process to go through. And the process leads to freedom. It leads to less pain. So go ahead and open your Bibles, and I want to get started, because Paul makes one thing very clear very quickly. He says the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience. So right off the bat, Paul makes one thing very clear. Yes, we are designed to experience sorrow occasionally. We are designed to experience regret. We are designed to experience pain. It's why, when you were a child, the very first time you lied to your parents, you felt terrible about it. You went back and you said, oh, I lied to mom and dad. What's going to happen? That's a good thing. God wanted you to feel that way. He wanted you to feel sorrow over that moment. And I want you to notice, we're using the word sorrow here. And I want you to focus on the word sorrow, because we are going to contrast sorrow and guilt. Sorrow is an emotion God created us to feel. Paul tells us he wants us to experience it. Guilt, as we're going to talk about later, is something God wants to set us free from. But first, sorrow. Why do we feel sorrow? Why does God want us to experience sorrow? A very specific reason. He wants us to experience sorrow because sorrow leads us away from sin. That's why. He wants us to experience sorrow because it keeps us from sinning. Because God doesn't want us to sin because sin hurts. Sin is painful. The reason we felt sorrow when we lied is because lying is painful. Lying breaks relationships. Lying breaks trust. That's why God told us, hey, this is a sin. He didn't just arbitrarily decide it was a sin. It's harmful behavior that he simply labels sin to protect us. So when we lie, we feel sorrow from that. We don't want to feel that sorrow, so we stop lying. But this sorrow is even better than that. It's even better than just simply protecting us. It propels us. There's a purpose in it. Because the sorrow that God wants us to experience, not only does it lead us away from sin, but watch this. It results in salvation. You know what salvation is? Salvation is what we call our relationship with Jesus. Salvation is the freedom Jesus offers. Salvation is what we find when we realize he's right, we're wrong, and we surrender our lives to him. It's what he came to offer. And so what Paul is saying is the only pain over behaviors that you're ever supposed to feel, that God wants you to feel, is called sorrow, and it leads us away from sin and back to Jesus, back to safety, back to salvation. Now, I worked really hard over the last few weeks to try to figure out an illustration for this, because I really think we need a picture. We need something we can hold in our minds to illustrate how this sorrow works. And I got one. But I'm going to warn you. If you want to be, you can choose to be offended by this illustration. So I'm just going to invite you to choose not to be offended. Because it's not offensive. It's fantastic. But you got to really want it, okay? So here's the illustration. How many of you have dogs? I know what you're thinking. Am I going to call you dogs? Kind of. Not really, but kind of. So everyone, if you don't have a dog, everyone knows people with dogs. And most dog owners love their dogs, like love their dogs, like love their dogs. Probably too much, just to be honest. Like more than I love dog, or even my kids, you love your dogs more, I think. But we're always trying to look for ways to protect our dogs and keep them safe. And so put fences up. But about 30, 35 years ago, a new technology came out that's been refined and perfected, but it's this new technology where you could actually create a fence in your yard without there being a fence in your yard. It's an invisible fence, right? And with the invisible fence, the dog wears a collar. And if the dog gets too close to the fence and tries to cross the fence, the dog gets shocked and he moves back into the safety of the yard. Now, the owner did not create that fence to punish the dog. He didn't create the fence to hurt the dog. The fence is there to protect the dog because there is safety in the yard. There is freedom in the yard. If they leave the yard, they get in the road. There's cars going by. There could be other dogs. And so there is safety in the yard. And the way that collar is supposed to work is to simply keep that dog from crossing into something that could harm him, and to push him back to safety, to push him back to freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the sorrow your Heavenly Father created you to feel. That's it. When you begin to step outside of what He has planned for your life, for you to feel a little bzzz, and just to go, oh, shouldn't have done that, and to turn back to safety. That's it. And listen to me, once you turn back to safety, the pain is gone. That's why Paul says, look at this. He says, there is no regret for that kind of sorrow. None. There's no shame for that kind of sorrow. There's no lingering doubts with that kind of sorrow. There's no lingering moments of pain. It is gentle and it is instant. Step outside, zzz, go back. That is it. That is the type of sorrow our Heavenly Father created us to feel. It is good, it is helpful, and it is needed for those of us who want to continue to follow our Heavenly Father. Now, if that was the end of this, we could all go home. But it's not, because I'm talking about godly sorrow. I'm talking about the sorrow He created us to feel. And Paul says, that's good. It's protecting. There's no regrets for that. But then Paul says, but, because there's another kind of pain we feel over problems we believe we've caused. And Paul calls that pain worldly sorrow. I call it, and you call it, and we call it guilt. And here's what he says about guilt. Worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Guilt, which lacks a step, results in paralysis. See, what he's saying here is when you feel sorrow and you've sinned and you've done something wrong, well, you have a step to take and it's great. But when you feel sorrow and when you feel guilt and when you feel shame, but there's no discernible reason for why you feel those things, the result is paralysis. The result is death. Imagine it. Let's go back to our dog in the yard. Collar working perfectly. He sees something. He wants to go run. He goes running. Zzz, oh, look, can't do that. And he goes back, and that's the end of it. But I want you to imagine same dog, same collar. Same fence. But this time, our dog's in the garage. He's nowhere near the fence. He's chilling out. He's drinking water from his bowl. And his collar goes off and he gets shocked. Well, the dog's going to think, well, what just happened? I'm nowhere near the fence. And he gets shocked again. And let's say the next day he's out and he's playing in the front yard with dad or with mom, and they're throwing the ball, and he's just having some fun, and all of a sudden, zzz, and he just keeps getting shocked, and he starts to look at dad, and looks at the owner like, what are you doing to me, man? Why do you keep shocking me? I'm not going anywhere, and he's just shocked again. You know what's going to happen eventually? That dog's going to freeze. That dog's not going to go anywhere because he's confused, because he understood the purpose of the pain, but now he has the pain, but he doesn't understand the purpose. And you know what a loving owner would do in that moment? You know what a loving owner does? He says, this is malfunctioning. I got to replace the collar. There's something wrong here. That's how your Heavenly Father feels when he looks at you. And you're experiencing the pain when you didn't cause it. That's how he looks at you. That's how he feels. When you experience guilt and shame, and he knows there is no sin. And what he's given us through Paul's teaching here is a replacement. What he's saying is, hey, 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 I know that this is difficult and I'm so sorry, but here is the answer. Here is the replacement. When you feel that pain, when you feel pain over a problem you think you've caused, whether you caused it or not, I want to give you a process. I want to give you a step to take to know what to do with it. And the step is this. You have to ask, where is the pain pointing? Where is this going? If you were here last week, we talked about anger. And the solution for anger is to try to figure out where it was coming from. Well, guilt is different because guilt is a propelling emotion. And so we say, okay, where is this pointing me? And it's very clear. Is this pointing me down the path of repentance? Is this pointing me to flee a harmful behavior? Is this pointing me to flee a sin and back into the arms of my Heavenly Father? Because if so, repent. But the other path could be the path of paralysis. Is this confusing? Is this pushing me to a direction I don't understand? There's no sin attacks and people are upset with me and I don't really know what's going on. You know what God says about that? He says, replace it. Because it's not how I want you to feel. Back to the lying analogy. When we lied to our parents for the first time, when we lie to our spouse, when we lie to anyone, there's a little pain. And that pain points us towards repentance, towards confession. Hey, I lied to you. I'm so sorry. Can you forgive me? That pain serves a purpose, and it goes away. That's how God intends it to work. But what actually happens? We say we're sorry, they forgive us, and the next day we wake up and we feel bad. I can't believe I lied. And the next day we feel worse. Man, I can't believe I lied. They'll never trust me again. The next day, there's no way God loves me now. There's no way God could, man, I'm so stupid. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe someone's, what's that pain doing? That pain's paralyzing you. Does that push you to repentance? Certainly not pushing you towards your Heavenly Father. And so what God says is that's a malfunction. I don't want you to feel that. In fact, I invite you to come to me so I can replace it. So I can replace that pain with my truth. And I know what you're thinking. We're talking about emotions. How could God replace emotions? Well, the way we change our emotions is we change our thoughts. And what God's given us here is a process by which we can change our thoughts. We ask the question, where's the pain pointing? And here is how we know the answer. When we feel pain, if we know the sin, if we know what we've done wrong, then it's okay to know sorrow. It's okay to know, hey, I blew it here. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to repent. I'm going to do what it takes to make amends. I messed up. Thank you, Jesus, for pointing it out to me. Thank you for helping fix this. I'm going to take a step. I know where this sin is coming from. I know there's sin, so I know there should be sorrow. But when we feel the pain and there's no sin, we don't see anything, you know what God says? No sorrow. Not for me. It's not what I'm asking you to feel. Now, this isn't an invitation for us to have a sorry, not sorry mentality. You know, go through life, haters gonna hate. That's not what this is. We are still, as Christ followers, governed by love God and love other people. But what Paul is giving us here directly from God is an internal lens, an internal process to know what to do with the pain we feel. To know what to do with the pain we feel over the problems that we believe we're causing. That we believe are causing issues and struggles and problems. And what Paul is saying is, hey, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder. There's an answer here. If there's sin, repent. And the pain goes away. If there's no sin, ask God to replace it so the pain can go away. Either way, we're led to freedom. Either way, we are led to salvation, which is what our gracious and loving Heavenly Father came to give us. He came to set us free. In fact, you know what Jesus said? You will know the truth. Let's add it. You will know the truth about your pain. And the truth will set you free. Sin, repent. No sin, replace. Let me be clear when I say sin, because there's some confusion about sin. There is. We tend to believe that, you know, what our spouse calls a sin means it's a sin. Maybe what our parents told us was a sin, what our kids say are sins, what our bosses say are sins, and we can get confused about that. Let me help you. The only being on the planet that is allowed to call something a sin is our Heavenly Father. God labels sin, not people. And lucky for us, he gave us a whole book that we can read that details right from wrong. That details what is and what isn't a sin. That gives practical principles, that gives explanations for sins. On top of that, he's given us something called the Holy Spirit that serves as our conscience. And from time to time, that Holy Spirit will speak individually to one person and say, hey, for you right now in this season, because you've had struggles with this, because maybe you struggle with addiction, because maybe you have some issues, we're actually going to add a little bit to what the Word says. We're not going to change it, but we're going to add a little bit to add a layer of protection for you personally, to help protect you and keep you from negative and harmful behaviors. Now again, when the Holy Spirit gives us those extra instructions, those are never for the world. Those are not for other people. They are just for us. And so it's not a sin unless God wrote it down or he's whispered it in your ear. And so I want to set some people free today because I have spent the last 20 plus years of my life studying this book. In fact, I went to graduate school and got a master's degree in this book. I'm not saying I know all of it, but I know it as well as I possibly can at this point. And here's some things I can tell you for facts. There are some things we feel guilty about in this room, and they are not sins. There's not one place in God's Word where he says it is a sin to be successful. Not one. Moms, there is not one place in God's Word where he says it's a sin for you to have a career outside the home. Not one. And don't believe anybody who tells you it is, because it's not there. It is not a sin for us to pray about and create healthy, loving boundaries between us and other people. If anything, you could argue it's a sin not to. It's not a sin to acknowledge that you are not God. And you cannot be all things to all people at all times. You can't. It's not a sin to acknowledge that. So if they aren't sins, why do we feel guilt? Why do we feel shame? Well, it's because we have an enemy who hates our guts. And he wants to destroy us. And his first tactic is to lure us out of the yard. You say, come on, cross that fence. It's so much more fun on this side. It's so much better. I've got so much. The owner's lying to you. Come out here. Come play in the road. It's awesome. It's great. It's safe. And sometimes we do that. And we feel sorrow, and hopefully we return back to our Heavenly Father. But if he can't get us to leave the yard, he can short circuit the collar. He can begin to make us feel pain and regret and shame when we are in the middle of God's plan and God's safety for our lives. So what on earth do do we do? If that is the case, God says, hey, I came to fix it. It's why my son came. And eventually we're going to live in perfection again. But for now, things are broken. And it's why I'm giving you a process to walk through when you feel that pain. It's why I'm giving you the process to say, hey, how do I do this? And here's the process. Where is the pain pointing? Away from sin, towards your Heavenly Father, repent. Back into someone else's property, towards paralysis, towards shame, replace that with God's truth. Now, to do this, we need one thing above all else. We need wisdom. We need wisdom and clarity to know which way it's pointing. And wouldn't you know it, our Heavenly Father offers us that too. If you were here last week, we learned from Jesus' little brother, James, how to be healed from our anger. And this week, Jesus' little brother has something to say about wisdom. And here's what he says. He says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Just ask for it. Just ask. Just say, God, I'm confused. Where is this pain pointing? And he wants to answer you. And he answers you first through his word. He answers you also through his church. That's why we gather together each week to talk about these things so that we can gain wisdom and clarity. But he also speaks, especially on this issue, loudest through his people. That's why we're always talking about groups, and it's why we believe that circles are better than rows. Because it's in community that we learn we aren't the only ones struggling. Because you know that's one of Satan's best tactics. One of the things he throws at us the most is he tries to convince us we're the only person on the planet in the history of the world that's ever struggled with what we're struggling with. And we're just broken and gross, and God could never forgive us and never love us. Community is where we learn, hey, you have the same struggle I do? All right, struggle buddies, way to go. Thought it was just me. Groups are where we learn. But, you know, I talked about mom guilt a minute ago. I did some studying on mom guilt. And do you know what most psychologists believe is the root of mom guilt, where it really comes from? It's that moms that struggle from mom guilt believe they are the only mom who's not getting it right. That every other mom has figured it out. That every other mom gets to work on time, gets all the projects done, gets the kids off to school, makes the cupcakes, makes it to every sporting event, every recital, has a 5-course meal on the table every night, and still has time for yoga. You know what community does? Community reveals that's not true. You know what the opposite of community is? Instagram. Because Instagram tells us this is easy. Community tells us no, it's not. Moms, I have a question. Who do you think benefits from you believing that you're letting someone down because you can't do it all? You don't benefit from that. Your kids don't benefit. Your spouse doesn't benefit. Your boss doesn't benefit. Who benefits from you believing that? You know the answer? Someone that hates your guts. That's who benefits from that. And that's why our Heavenly Father says, hey, look, guys, sin's a real thing. Some things got broken. And we're going to fix it. But in the meantime, I want to give you a process to know what to do with that pain you feel. Because I want you to be set free from that pain, because I never intended for you to have that pain. The purpose was to protect you. And the enemy has corrupted it, and he's punishing you. Not on my watch. I sent my son for you. I sent my son to die so you could have a relationship with me, and I want better for you than that. Better as possible. But it'll take a little work. It requires a process. But if you invite me into that process, I can provide clarity and I can provide wisdom and I can set you free from that pain. And the process is simple, as we've said. We ask the question, where Is the pain pointing? Is it pointing me to repentance? Then follow it. Is it pointing me to paralysis? Replace it. With what? With this truth. When we know our sin, we know our sorrow. We know the step, we take it, set free. When there is no sin, God says there should be no sorrow. So we ask Him to replace our thoughts so we can be set free. Can't we all agree that sounds better? Imagine going through life with the clarity of understanding the purpose of that pain, that it is a protecting pain, that it is a rescuing pain, that it's simply meant to push us back to our Heavenly Father, and then it's supposed to go away. So my prayer for you this week, and for me this week, and for all of us this week, is as we leave here today and go home and move into the next week of our lives, that we either, as we walk into new pain, or for some of us, as we deal with the pain we've been experiencing for weeks, months, years, maybe even decades, my prayer is that God will give us wisdom today. Where is the pain pointing? And once we have wisdom, that He will give us clarity. Repent and be free, or replace and be free. Because that pain was not meant to be lasting. That pain was meant to be helpful. That pain was meant to be protective. Because that's what your Heavenly Father does for those He loves. So may God give you this week the wisdom to know which way the pain is pointing, and the clarity of step to move into the freedom He offers. Let me pray. God, we just love You so much. We are so, so thankful for Your Son. Oh, we're so thankful for the freedom You provide. Lord, I just pray today that You will give us those two things, wisdom and clarity. God, wisdom to understand where the pain's pointing. Clarity to know how to step into freedom. And God, may we know that You are a God who loves us, who only wants the best for us. May we trust that and step into the safety You provide. We love You. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.